people that have been so crassly and cruelly making jokes and taking such a delight in someone else's demise just because they are a billionaire? How can you sink so low? Have you no shame? How can you succumb to such pressure just because everyone else is submersed in this tragedy? Trying to turn it into some shallow joke? Well, I can tell you this, it's not gonna have air in it for much longer. I cannot fathom the depths of your depravity. Excuse me if I don't have such a dark and murky sense of humor. I'm not that shallow. I mean, what is the motivation here? Do you just have to make these bad, tasteless jokes or else your whole world's gonna implode? Have some respect for billionaires. We are talking about the titans of industry. They are leagues apart from you. You know, a sense of adventure has kept this species afloat for so long, and you're gonna try and torpedo that? This type of humor is beneath us. I really call on you to find God.
The Left Show is not intended for youngsters. It's not intended for the sensitive. It's certainly not intended for right-wingers. Use your own discretion. Awful swearing.
Welcome to the Ponderosa, my friends, for an evening of songs and stories about the American West.
You know who the best-looking person sitting up there was? Who was it with the cowboy hat?
No, J.M. Bell.
J.M. Bell. I don't know who that is.
He hosts a podcast.
Well, he was good looking.
You pompous, stuck-up, snot-nosed, giant, twerp, scumbag, fuck-faced, dickhead, asshole!
Well, we can talk casually amongst ourselves. The entire A block changed this morning.
Did it?
Yeah. It did, yeah.
I haven't checked my email.
Yeah, we're still going to talk about it because it's still a big fucking deal. Yeah. I just don't think it's going to.
And has some humor to it, absolutely.
A little bit.
Let me just be honest, guys. When I was reading the first article, I'm like, I don't know which side is which at this point. There's so many words that are made up. I understand one of them, and I still don't. It was Wagner, and I still don't. Was it even Wagner?
Yeah, his name's Wagner. Yeah.
I still don't know what side he's on.
Wagner is actually the group. That's the name of their group because they're named after their name for Wagner, who wrote The Ride of the Valkyries. That's why they have it. Now his name is. I just saw it 2 seconds ago. In our feed.
Prigozhin,
yeah.
I tried
Prigozhin, the hot dog king of Moscow.
Yeah.
How this fucker became a top general in a mercenary army, I will watch that documentary, that biopic, if they create one.
Yeah.
Of how the hot dog king of Russia became the leader of their biggest mercenary group.
My guess is that he's probably a sadistic motherfucker. You know?
More likely.
Like a torturer.
Yeah. Like deep down inside, he scratches an itch that has to do with human suffering, and that's why he's so fucking good.
Oh, yeah. It's not going to be a feel-good biopic. It's going to be like Dahmer, you know? We just want to know.
I don't.
That's good. But, so we got a little vamp to do. Like I said, I've stopped freaking out about the clock. I'm only worried about going over at this point. But anything happened, you guys, last week or so?
I signed up for a full marathon.
That's fucking nuts. Yeah. Well, you don't have to go.
I'm going to go. Mm-hmm.
Well, no, you should.
I have to now. I paid the money.
Okay.
I'm doing a half marathon in a couple weeks. Then a full at the end of August.
There's one I've been flirting with lately. Hang on. Let me see. A half or a full? But I don't remember.
It's going to be fun. It's in Bryce Canyon.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Are they doing the rim run again down there?
Mm.
My dad invented the Bryce Canyon rim run in the 80s. And for the first few years, we used to run. The race would start at Sunset Point, run through the park and then out of the park and then down to Ruby's Inn. Mm. And we did that for about 4 years. And then the government went, wait, what? And so we, after that, we started the race at Ruby's Inn, ran up through the woods, crossed the road, and then right at the border of the park, you ran along the fence, and then you came back down, and it still got pretty parts that aren't part of the park.
Okay.
And so we'd do that. And I always, my entire life, having been a very slow runner.
Same as these.
Ended up on my mountain bike with a couple of big first aid kits and would ride the route 2-3 times, make sure nobody got hurt.
Oh, nice.
Stop and do Band-Aids and shit if they did. My little brother and I did that. And so I have in storage the original poster for the Rim Run. That was, I really like that. I don't know if they do it anymore.
I don't know what this one's called.
Yeah. This is it. It's the Batman Virtual Run, where you go and you do it and then you turn in your stuff.
I've done a lot of virtual runs.
Yeah, and it's like, I want to do this. I can't really afford it, but...
Mm-hmm. Virtual run should not be that much money.
$50?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all my
But you get all this cool shit.
Well, if you get cool shit.
Yeah, look at this. You get at the top, you get all this cool shit.
You get cool shit and you can virtually run.
You can probably pay more for each one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
You have to pay, because if you want a better shirt for a half or a full, you got to pay another $20.
Yep.
Anyway, that's what I'm going to do. It's going to be a nightmare.
It sounds nuts.
But I've been running a lot. So a few weeks ago, like a month or so ago, you know the time.
Yep.
Ran 50 miles that week.
That's a lot of miles.
Mm-hmm. This past one I ran.
I think you can do 20. It. I have absolute faith in you. I just, however, think that marathons are fucking nuts.
I'm so excited, though. It's down Big Cottonwood.
Yeah.
So it's not all the way uphill and stuff.
Okay. But it's just... Once upon a time, a guy in ancient Greece ran 26 miles and died.
Yeah, I know. And to celebrate him, we run 26.2.
Yep.
Suck it, little bitch. Did you poop your pants? Because other people have.
That is true. That has happened.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You run until you're done. And sometimes things want to run without you.
Yeah. I got 6 hours to complete it, which is doable.
Yeah, you can do that.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My half little marathons brother, under three.
My little brother, and I say little brother, he's still older than you, was told by his doctor that it was time to replace his hips.
Oh.
And he'd had hip problems since birth. He was born without hip sockets.
Oh, okay.
So he spent the first year of his life in a body cast while his hips continued to form, you know, around the top of the leg.
Huh.
And then somehow with that is an athletic little motherfucker. Mm-hmm. And has been his whole life. We used to do triathlons together, he and I. And he'd beat me in the run, and he'd beat me in the bike, and I'd beat him in the pool. You know, and as long as the pool was last, I would win. And if the pool was first, he'd win.
Ah.
Every fucking time.
That's amazing.
Yep. And so we did that for a while. But then he decided, well, I want to run a marathon on all original equipment.
Oh.
So he went and did his first marathon, and then he did several more.
Mm-hmm.
He started skateboarding again, mm-hmm. and he's actually really quite good. And then here last year, he got his hips done, and he is back on the skateboard.
Good for him.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Good for him. My grandma got new hips, like 3 times in the past year or 2.
Yeah, but did she skateboard after?
No, she just sat. So... And then her back collapsed again last year.
Yikes.
Then it collapsed. She got surgery, and then it collapsed again. It's been a really good year.
Yeah, narf.
Grace and I wore shirts for New Year's Eve that said, "This is my year." And now I'm just...
It didn't define what kind of year, though,
and
did
now,
it?
And now I just want to like be like, LOL, buddy.
Yeah.
That was funny.
Yep. Well played there.
You got anything new, buddy? How was your Scottish festival?
Oh, it was good. We had a great time. Nice, comfortable temperatures all 3 days. The Sword in the Stone trick went off without a hitch. I had one kid who came up and had the crazy strength that they just yanked it right out of the stone. But nobody else could do it. So.
Did he keep the sword?
No.
Oh.
Nobody. It's my sword. Nobody's keeping the sword. I had a kid ask me that. I said, no, you don't get to keep my sword. Mind you, they're, you know, $50 a pop or less sometimes. So, you know.
Not when you bought it.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is my sword. And, yeah, it was fun. And then I got to meet a few MacArthurs and Payson's next. Payson will be in 2 weeks down at the Payson City Park in Payson, Utah. It's a free festival.
Yeah, but you have to go to Payson.
That's the part that's not so free. You got to drive down to Payson.
I've been there with you before a million years ago.
Yep.
And that was where I had my first Scotch egg.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fucking brilliant.
I've made Scotch eggs.
Yeah, they're so good.
They're so good.
They're so good.
Yep, we make them too. There's promises of Scotch eggs, no promise of haggis at this one, which makes me mad because I love haggis.
You gotta have a good haggis.
Stop it.
No, there's some good ones. Mm-mm. Some of them are a little bland, but they sure are tasty.
They're delicious. And then we'll see what, you know, it just looks like a lot of fun being down in Payson. So, yeah, that's already on the books to do. We'll be down there in 2 weeks. And, yeah, not much else.
Burrito. What about you?
Finishing up business for the week. Oh, it's all fucked up. So we're going down finally. I've been asking for time off since February. So I'm going down to see Dad. I'm going down to see him in the zone at which I don't visit, which is May through October, because St. George is fucking awful. And then to add insult to injury, his current wife has made the house inhospitable to guests by removing all couches, beds, etc., so that no one will stay. I don't know if you guys have spent the night in St. George.
Yes.
In the last 10 years.
Yes.
Just expensive as fuck.
Oh, I sleep at family's houses.
This is my only family down there. Mm. So we'll probably be sleeping in the truck, maybe find a campground, I guess. I'm not sure. We'll figure it out. So part of me is a little cheesed, and part of me is, you know, I get to see my dad, and that's very important. Mm-hmm. We're looking forward to it. Friday, we're going to take him to the Indiana Jones.
Oh, nice.
There you go.
Because one of the first memories I have was of my dad taking me to see Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark, at the Villa Theater over on Highland Drive. That's a carpet store now.
Nice.
Yeah. I think the other movie I remember seeing there with him was Lady Hawk. Great movie.
My dad took me to Home Alone and then Home Alone 2. Just us two.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's sweet. So yeah, I'm going to take him to that. We're going to go to a matinee so that he has a better chance of staying awake the whole time.
Yep.
You know, he's fucking 87. I mean,
he should run for president.
I think he'd do a good job.
Mm-hmm. Just saying, that's the prime age.
It seems to be. At least maybe that, or you could run for Senate.
Mm.
You know,
all right.
Give old Feinstein a role for her money.
Jesus.
That is. All right, look, let's get it over with. So, Prigozhin is the general for a mercenary group called the Wagner Private Military Group, the Wagner Group, that is bankrolled out of Vladimir Putin's pocket.
Yes. Imagine, Blackwater? The mercenaries that Dick Cheney had for...
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically the same kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. But these guys apparently are pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened is someone in higher military command dropped bombs on them and killed a few of them due to friendly fire. They haven't been getting resupplied. They haven't been getting food. They haven't been getting ammo. They haven't been getting fuel.
Mm.
So Prigozhin says a couple days ago, fuck it, I'm coming for Putin. So he loaded all his buddies up in their various trucks, stole some gas, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Siphoned.
And headed toward Moscow. And on their way, they stopped at what is basically the forward base for Russian troops headed into, you know, the country for their war in Ukraine.
No, it's a 3-day invasion.
And they took over the city, the forward base, as it were. And then they spent the night and they packed everything back up and they started heading for Moscow. Now, in the meantime, you've got Putin freaking the fuck out, going on TV, giving a nighttime address saying that Prigozhin is a traitor and that he's going to kick his ass and all of this. And 25,000 troops bursting through one fucking roadblock after another.
And every town, like especially the major towns, that they hit the halfway point, took it over. Just took it over.
Makes me happy.
This is ours now.
This is ours. You stay in your house. And I mean, they, you know, we were getting reports of troops yesterday as almost like you're at the halfway point. So whatever from between the halfway point and Moscow, they'd gotten at least that far up before.
So they got to within 100 miles of Moscow, which is pretty fucking close.
Yeah,
that's real close. Yeah.
Before somehow Putin talked him down, Prigozhin, and decided to send him to Belarus. So he's on his way to Belarus now. And the talk is, and this is where the national security guys get a little wonky about it, is the plan, as we are told, or have sussed, or whatever, is to take the Wagner group and incorporate it into the Russian military. I think maybe something else is going to happen. Because I don't see these guys being happy to go and be common soldiers now, especially as they got to within 100 miles of Moscow.
Right.
Yeah.
What's Putin going to do? Like, give them food and supplies now?
I mean, maybe.
I doubt it.
Maybe. Yeah,
so they've turned back to avoid bloodshed. But it goes and says his men will return to base. Wagner men start to pull back from the Rostov army base. Belarus says it brokered the deal in return for the safety of rebels. And the Wagner forces have taken control of Rostov. Rostov-on-Don. Voronezh. Russia. So, yeah, they got there. They got there. They just kept doing one thing after another, and nothing that Russia was putting in their way was stopping them. And somehow Belarus got it. I am sure once this all breaks down and we have some details, it's going to be interesting as fuck. You know? In the meantime, basically, what we see is what a lot of us have already thought, and that is that Putin is not as in control as he thought he was.
No.
What? Yep. This has been a really long 3 days. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it really has. Yeah.
It's been so long.
Very exciting with a really bad ending. It's like a DC movie. you know, like, yeah, go prison to Belarus? What the fuck's in Belarus?
And then that's where we stop.
I was disappointed by the second day when Prigozhin was like, we're not after Putin. We want the military, whatever. He wanted the Secretary of Defense, effectively. He wanted his head on a pike. And I'm like, well, then all Putin has to do is hand that guy over to him. He'll stop his run and then, you know, go back to working for Putin again. But, yeah.
Yep. So,
and I say that because I know Putin would not have a problem handing anybody over.
No. Yeah. No, but I'll bet you $10 this dude doesn't live through the year. Prigozhin.
No, he will not.
He will either accidentally fall out of a window, or he will accidentally drink poison.
I think he'll accidentally fall on a few bullets.
Yeah,
is what
something.
I'm thinking. Yeah.
Something. So the United Nations also added Russia to... now, look, I'm going to use some very harsh words here. So I just want you to be prepared for what I'm about to say. The UN added Russia to a list of shame.
Shame.
For killing children in Ukraine.
Shame.
You know, I understand what the UN is for. I think it's a good idea, you know, in a lot of ways. I think they do some pretty good work. But when my right-wing family talks about the UN just being a toothless organization, you put Russia on a list of shame, did you?
Shame, shame, shame.
Russia has no shame. That's why they're murdering children. But they've murdered over 136 children this last year. And that, you know, Catholicism aside, is a lot of kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, all right, that's it for the A block. We'll check back in. Okay? I promise. All right, so let's take a little break. We'll get back on the other side. More news of the world.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey folks, Jeff here.
And Taylor.
And JC.
Just wanted to talk to you for a minute about Patreon. Patreon.com. Patreon.com. That's where we raise the money to put these shows on each and every week. For those of you that weren't paying attention, we didn't hit our fundraising goals this year, and so we need your help to keep the shows going.
Please.
Now, more than ever.
Oh.
We don't say that. That's.
I thought we were not being aggressive.
Yeah, that's bad political writing. Is that one right there?
In the arms of
the angels. You do that. So, anyway, every week that we record, we put special content behind a paywall over at patreon.com/dfnmedia for you to listen to so that you know deep down inside you're better than everyone else. patreon.com/dfnmedia, D-E-F-E-N media. Join us over there, will you? It's pennies on the dollar.
Please.
Reason you are still listening to The Left Show. All right, then. Here's some more of that, I suppose.
So what else is new? Anything else new? American Medical Association, House of Delegates, last week passed the Endocrine Society's resolution to protect access to evidence-based gender-affirming care for transgender and gender-diverse individuals. As political attacks on gender-affirming care escalate, it is the responsibility of the medical community to speak out in support of evidence-based care. Medical decisions should be made by patients, their relatives, and healthcare providers, not politicians. In the resolution, the AMA committed to opposing any criminal and legal penalties against patients seeking gender-affirming care, family members or guardians who support them in seeking medical care, and healthcare facilities and clinicians who provide gender-affirming care. The AMA will be working from now forward at the federal and state level with legislators and regulators to oppose such policies and collaborate with other organizations to educate the Federation of State Medical Boards about the importance of gender-affirming care. You know, all of the evidence-based science and doctor letters that we present on the Hills, the various state legislatures, over and over and over again. But now the AMA is going to, it looks like they're going to start lobbying in person. You know?
Good.
So, if you've got the time, pop over to theleftshow.com and take a look at this one. It was a really good press release, but I hate reading press releases out loud. So because it's important, I'll give it a little bit, but you know, that's how it is. I mean, it started out this last session here in Utah for me, being mad at one guy and then two guys and then four guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like 18 guys, 14 women, you know, I don't know who to pursue with my anger. I don't know how to give it voice. A couple ideas I had early in the year got derailed by, you know, one of my kids getting into trouble and just sucking up all my time and money. And you know, I don't know what, as a full-time agitator, I can do to piss these guys off more than the tag team on Twitter that Jason and I have against a couple of them. It's my favorite being the douche canoe that's in charge of the Utah log cabin Republicans, who hates the T of LGBT quite a bit, is a terrible person. I call him a collaborator, you know, much like those that would turn in their neighbors, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This is a guy who would do anything for a pat on the head. You know, much the same way Utah Republicans wish that national Republicans would stop, you know, saying that they're in a cult, making fun of their religion, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, that's what this guy does. He will sell out anybody to just get a pat on the head from the Republicans that he so desperately needs fucking approval from. It's really pathetic. It's really just quite sad and pathetic, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a lunatic. He's a fucking lunatic. So, I don't know if I can invite him to my boxing party or not.
I will. I'll kick him in the nuts.
All right.
At the door.
All right.
There you go.
I'm game. I would love to watch that. Talking about kicking in the nuts, though.
Ah.
Supreme Court on Thursday ruled against the Navajo Nation over claims that the federal government has failed to assert the tribe's desperate need for water access in the fucking deserts, the arid deserts, where we left them.
Mm-hmm.
We took away their shit, we put them on the worst land we could find, and then we fucking ignore them for a couple hundred years, and they're all, hey, can we have something to drink? And the Supreme Court of the United States went, no.
No.
No. Justices divided 5-4, said the lawsuit the tribe filed against the federal government must be thrown out. Brett Kavanaugh, writing for the majority, because he's a piece of shit,
yes,
said that an 1868 treaty with the Navajo Nation did not require the U.S. government to take active steps to secure water access.
Drink your tears, is what he would say.
Yep.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Not surprising, though, of the Supreme Court justices, Gorsuch, who normally sides with the conservatives, jumped over to the other side because he's always been very good with the tribal nations. So, yeah.
It's weird. Yeah. It's weird for a white racist bigot to do that.
Yep. But
every once in a while, I guess you pick a favorite minority and you try and do some nice shit for them.
Well, it's primarily because Gorsuch is from the West. He's a Westerner. I think he's from Montana or one of the Dakotas. I don't remember.
Yeah, he's
exactly
from out this way, but I just got to say.
He's from out this way, and there's a lot. There's less. Over the centuries, there's been less. There's been more sympathy toward Native American plights. Nobody actually doing anything about it, but there's been more sympathy toward the Native American plight in the West than there has been in the East. So that was the only thing I could think. That was the only redeeming quality I ever saw in Gorsuch. So, yeah.
So there's a couple things about this. The first being, oh, look, white people fucked over the first peoples again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just to do it. But there is water power mixed into the IRA is what I remember. Mm-hmm. The Inflation Reduction Act.
Right.
Is that some of that spending there is to take care of a lot of different problems on reservations right now.
Mm.
So Democrats delivering, you know, Republicans, yeah, you got fucking Gorsuch.
Yep.
You know?
So that's the only thing you got is one guy will join up with the others to say, no, that's wrong. But he's got his own agenda for that. So, yeah.
All right. Does everybody remember John Eastman?
No.
John Eastman is the Donald Trump lawyer that came up with the idea of what they wanted Pence to do. You know, which was deny the certification and then send it back to the states to pick their own electors.
Yeah.
That's Eastman. Eastman is in trial. He's facing a potential disbarment for his involvement in the plot to overturn the 2020 election, the presidential election. So he tried to call this guy named Joseph Fried, an accountant who wrote an e-book that questioned the legitimacy of the 2020 presidential election results. He tried to call him as a witness at his disbarment. California State Bar Judge Yvette Rowland said no. She said, and I quote, "I don't see how Mr. Fried is qualified to be an expert. He has no experience in voting or election matters." In addition, California Bar Attorney Duncan Carling said, "We don't believe the opinion of a CPA is relevant." Yeah. And that Mr. Fried never identified any instances of fraud. Mm-hmm. So the judge, Yvette, barred this guy, this Fried guy, from testifying in the disbarment trial of John Eastman. That's what you can do when you're a bar judge. You can put bars in the way of things.
That's right.
Yep. Yep. Very nice. Very nice. It's just a big fucking mess is what it is. You know? I'm glad he'll be gone. He deserves a trial. We all do. That's how I justified going to see The Flash. Is Ezra Miller. Has not yet been convicted.
Right.
Of all of the terrible, terrible shit they did. You know?
Yeah.
And so I'm like, innocent until proven guilty. I am off to see The Flash. Which again, and I will state for the record, for those of you that don't cross-pollinate with the other show. First couple hours, good. I enjoyed them. It was lighthearted.
First couple?
It's a long movie. Mm-hmm. It's 2 hours and 14 minutes. So yeah, it was good. I enjoyed it. You know, there's some really questionable CGI in there that I don't understand. But that's fine. Whatever. I'm used to that. And then the last 90 seconds fucking nailed it home for me, and I have loved the movie ever since. You know, that's all I'm saying. But I think that what'll happen, depending on the court system in the United States, is that I'll buy a copy on DVD and never stream it again.
Yep.
So a one-time expenditure, and then I'm done. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because that last 90 seconds, I want to watch it again. Like, I want to go back and sit through this whole movie again, just for the journey to get to that last 90 seconds and how fucking awesome it was. DeSantis, speaking of people that does, you know, horrible things to other people.
He always looks like he's got a poop, or he did a little bit already.
He's doing a little poop right now. Mm-hmm. He's doing that picture.
Yep.
He's pooping away.
Yep. Poopy in the potty.
Anyway.
Somebody change my yappy. A new Florida law cracking down on undocumented immigrants signed last month by DeSantis, set to take effect on July 1st, has pushed thousands of workers to leave the state of Florida. Some capitalists who otherwise support DeSantis, you know, when they're like, hey, when we were talking about minorities, we were talking about black people, not folks working on our farms.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And the state's GOP-controlled House and Senate are beginning to speak out about how the law is fucking shit up. Tallahassee Democrat reported early in the week that in his packing plant, Grave Williams, a lifelong Republican, proudly explained the whole skill, labor, and manpower needed to provide tomatoes to North America, a feat he says won't be possible without immigrant laborers. We love them to death.
Do you?
They work them to death, said Williams, whose family's been farming tomatoes for decades. We couldn't run a business without them. But they're not there anymore. They've gone other places because of DeSantis.
And people in America are not going to do that job.
Yep.
Because we're tired and we have not that great a work ethic.
Well, we want an actual living wage to do that job. Yeah.
Also, we just are lazy.
I doubt it.
I think it's just a lot of laziness. It's like, that's way harder than I assumed. I am not going to do it.
As a kid, I did strawberries because we were down in Strawberry Town. And I spent a couple of summers harvesting strawberries. And then after that, we would do hay. And I'm allergic to hay.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to drive the truck when I was like 13, which was fucking awesome.
Nice.
But yeah, it's like I've done the work. I've done the bendy fucking, pick the fucking crop fucking work for, you know, pennies per pouch, you know, and all of that. And basically it worked out to about $3 an hour, give or take, depending on how fast you could pick, you know, and you do that for a little while and it fucking cripples you. And then you move on, you know, for me, it was back to school. For these other folks, it's on to a new state further south to find more shit to pick.
Mm-hmm. And they have like a system to do it so well.
Yeah.
Like they know how to.
Oh, no, I'd get lapped constantly.
Yeah, well,
you know, I'd do my row, and in the time I did my row, the two or three guys on either side of me had jumped over my row to get to more of their rows as they go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. But data released earlier this month showed that unauthorized crossings of the United States-Mexico border fell sharply after the Biden administration imposed new asylum restrictions that went into effect when Title 42 ended in May, undermining DeSantis's dubious accusation of inaction at the border. Immigrant rights groups have condemned Biden's crackdown on asylum seekers, saying the president's new ban deepens the bipartisan abandonment of international human rights. Absolutely true.
Yep. But these, I can agree with that.
This abandonment of international human rights set in motion by the Trump administration. Meanwhile, in Florida, DeSantis' xenophobic approach has sparked fears that a labor shortage will leave crops unpicked, tourist hotels short of staff, and construction sites idle. And we have seen the videos and the pictures of that already.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's a fucking shit show.
And yet, at the same time, you know, here's Marjorie Taylor Greene back in Congress proposing, you know, pitching a impeachment of Joe Biden over his mishandling of things at the border.
And it's... Same with Lauren Boebert, except for different.
They wound up having a fight over who got to
little bitches.
Yeah,
little bitches.
Yep. So Barbie Carrot, Second Amendment Barbie and the poster child for Jim Rage were both posting this stuff up, and it was like, I don't know if you sent. I know I forwarded it over to Jeff to see the. The representative from Massachusetts was like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Why are you bringing Barbie into this? What did Barbie do?
Well, that's what they call her, like Second Amendment Barbie, or I can't remember, something like that for Boebert.
Ooh.
Yeah.
She's creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah, she is.
You know?
She is.
It's got, sorry that I have to make the distinction, but it's got nothing to do with anything other than just as a person, she's creepy.
Yep.
She's just, every time I see her, I'm just like, ugh, you're creepy.
She gives a vibe.
She does. Fucking CrossFit.
Her eyes are like, ugh.
Yeah, she's pretty awful. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back on the other side. We're going to talk about the billionaires some more.
Oh, cool.
Yay, yeah. Billionaires.
Oh, there's a few left.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
This week on the world's greatest comic book podcast, we remember Einstein the dog, Cormac McCarthy, Treat Williams, and John Romita.
I don't know who I'm going to miss more, the dog or Treat Williams.
San Diego Comic-Con won't have a few features, including carpet.
Probably Treat Williams.
Everybody's pointing fingers over The Flash's box office crash. In moving pictures, Paramount Plus is canceling 3 shows and removing them from the network. The opening credit sequence for Secret Invasion is AI generated.
Yeah, I don't...
There's a skip credits button. Just do that. Most of the Superman and Lois cast are not returning next season. In comics, Firefly is getting a new series.
You can't take the sky from me.
Iron Man is getting married.
She can.
And Jon Stewart is getting his own title.
The Daily Show.
The Daily Show War Journal. I like that.
There you go.
We review New Talent Showcase, The Milestone Initiative, Click Click Boom, Iron Man, Marvel Pride, Dead Romans, Batman 1989, and, of course, Daredevil. All this and more Star Trek fiction coming your way. Face Rent, True Believers. It's the world's greatest comic book podcast. Available Tuesdays on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and thecomicbookpodcast.com.
Jeff, that's your cue.
I got nothing.
It's gone like Treat Williams.
Yep. Let's have to throw a prayer out to the underwear gnomes and hope this all works out. I can't stop laughing at any part. You know what? Yes, I can. There is one part of this whole fucking OceanGate story that makes me sad.
The teen.
That's the kid.
Mm-hmm. The teenager, yeah.
That didn't want to go, but he pleased his dad.
Yep.
And he was a student at the University of Glasgow. I read that in The Scotsman, that he was a student at the University of Glasgow. So.
Poor wee bear.
It's a poor wee bear. His rich dad took him on an ocean trip, and he died.
There is a picture I saw earlier today. It was a stack. And on the top of the stack was the submersible that James Cameron put together to go down and visit the Marianas.
Mm-hmm. And then far deeper than this one went. Exactly, yeah.
And then the one that goes down to 12,000 feet, which is still a lot of feet underwater,
showed
the inside there.
Mm-hmm.
And the top one said peer review, and the bottom one said did his own research. And what this rich fucker just kept going on and on and on about was how fucking innovative he is, and I'm cutting all these corners because safety regulations are boo, you know. And there was an email exchange between him and an expert.
Mm-hmm.
That was like, you're going to kill somebody. And he's like, I take offense to that. And the guy's like, yeah, well, I do this for a living. And if I didn't tell you, you know, I would be remiss. But you're going to kill people. And one of the regulations that stood out to me was that you don't mix materials.
Right.
So if you're going to build it out of titanium, you build it out of titanium. What they did was buy... a tube of carbon fiber from Boeing on severe discount because it had already been basically pointed at and said, this is too old for Boeing to use. So they were going to discard it, and dipshit from OceanGate is like, yeah, I'll take it.
How can you be cheap when you're a billionaire? It doesn't make sense. Also, like, the amount that you paid for to get on that was $250,000. It's $10 to them.
Yeah.
$10.
Yeah. You know, and we'll get into deeper and more of this, but it's like, even with that, with a billionaire running the show and $250,000 being your entrance to it, the company was still stealing money from prospective corpses.
This is why I won't go on SpaceX.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the same reason. No, and I think the silver lining about that one billionaire is he decided to take the trip.
Yeah.
And therefore was proven wrong in the most violent way possible. Yeah.
There's few ways more violent. But basically
I found myself chuckling as I watched
all the memes.
Well, just the when they did the press conference for, you know, to talk about they found the wreckage. It imploded. And I found myself chuckling when one reporter said, are you going to search for bodies? I was like, there are no bodies.
None.
There are pieces that you will never find. There will be no bodies. What was that movie, The Abyss?
Yeah.
The novel that Orson Scott Card wrote walks you through exactly what happens with explosive decompression. And that's what would have happened to them. So, yeah, there's nothing left of those people.
So attached to the carbon fiber body, they put titanium bell ends, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you're not supposed to mix the materials of where they connect.
Mm-hmm.
It's bad. And they had a whole section in the safety book saying, don't do this. This is bad. Here's why. And that's probably exactly what happened.
By the way, the two pieces they found apart from the nose cone were the two titanium bell ends.
Yep. Oh, and And you know what else survived?
The Xbox remote.
The Xbox controller.
Yes.
That they were using to drive the damn thing. That's fucking great.
That, but the carbon fiber just shredded.
Yep. Yeah. Just did. So basically, if you look at what an explosion does, you know, it's a change in air pressure.
Right.
Sometimes with fire and shrapnel, but it's basically a change in air pressure. You turn that inside and you explode everything down. If there's stuff left of these guys, it is paste.
Yeah, because it explosion is this. It goes out. Implosion comes in.
It's good,
and
though,
yeah, everybody just turned to goo. Yeah,
it's nice that, like, it, the plus side of it is just, like, at least they didn't starve to death and suffocate.
Yeah, they, like, didn't
they
suffocate.
Just instantly died.
Yeah,
and that's like the only thing that I can think of. It's like, well, at least they didn't starve or suffocate.
Yep.
Well, and you, when you, here's the other thing. When you got into that boat, they bolted you in. There was no escape hatch. There was no explosive hatch. So one of the worries was that it had surfaced, but it was out there in the ocean. They didn't know where it was because there was no beacon for this thing. That was one of his corners he cut. We don't need a safety beacon. And they were worried it was out there floating and they were going to suffocate because they had no way to get out.
Yeah. Yep. One of them still would have cracked me up, except for the kid.
Yep.
Yeah, except for the kid.
Except for the kid.
Except for the kid. Yeah, except for the kid.
I mean, when you're a billionaire's kid, like, you've got to try and please them just because it's like your dad doesn't like you anyway.
Nah.
He likes money.
He likes
everything
money.
That I've seen in movies, your dad doesn't like you.
Nope.
Yep. And everything I've seen from Elon Musk, your dad doesn't like you.
Yep. So anyway, Brian Sazes, the stepson of British billionaire Hamish Harding, took time to respond to Cardi B for criticizing his attendance at a Blink-182 concert while his stepdad was lost at sea. It was also pointed out by TMZ that Brian Sazes responded to a thirst trap that was posted by an OnlyFans model. This gets better and better.
I know.
Oh, my God.
Sazes wrote of Cardi B, "What a trashy celeb, trying to get clout off me and my family's suffering. Went to a Blink-182 concert for coping rather than sitting at home and watching the news. Shame on you, Cardi. Get some class." I happen to agree with Cardi B on this one.
Where are you?
Yep.
I still miss you.
Yep.
I was hoping they would play "I Miss You"
for,
like, that guy.
Yep. He continued in another tweet, "Cardi B, we all know your latest releases are trash, but is your career this desperate for attention now?" I think Cardi B's doing just fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, 100%.
He learned to fight online from Donald Trump is what I just heard there. Yeah.
Yep. To make matters worse, Sazes also, quote, treated a thirst trap from an OnlyFans model who shared a photo alongside the question, "Can I sit on you?" I mean, you can.
Yes,
but
please.
But may you? To which his response, "Yes, please."
Yes, please.
Right in the middle of stepdad. Don't get me wrong. If I was in a bad mood.
Just going to throw this out there, though. The stepdad was already dead, so.
That's true.
Well, and
that's
and,
true.
So
he's
clear.
You already
clear.
Pointed it out, Taylor. Billionaire dads hate their sons.
Yeah.
So why should Saz even give a fuck?
Yeah. Yeah.
He just inherited all the money. Actually, he's stepson. He's not going to get shit.
Yep. But he was hated. Yeah. So, you know, that's fine with him.
He says, "It may be distasteful being here, but my family would want me to be at the Blink-182 show."
Okay.
"As it's my favorite band and music helps me in difficult times."
Okay.
That's fair.
Okay.
Meanwhile, on Twitter, he made sure the members of the band were aware of who he was and that he was in the audience.
Mm-hmm.
Did they care? I don't think they did.
No.
They do not care.
So Cardi B says, So one of the billionaires that's missing underwater on the submarine shit, one of the billionaires, they stepson is at a concert, right? A Blink-182 concert. People was like, what is he supposed to do? Be sad at the house?
Yeah.
Is he supposed to go look for himself? Yes, you're supposed to be at the house sad.
Yeah.
You supposed to be crying for me. You supposed to be right next to the phone waiting to hear any updates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Well, yep. Then the obvious reason why he tweeted out to Blink-182 that he was there and who he was is so that he could get backstage. That was, I saw that a mile away.
I could get backstage before he could.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not that big a hurdle for you.
No.
No.
It's
no.
Not.
You're hot.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I've just got a personality.
Added to the hot?
Wow.
Yeah. Added to the hot, yeah.
Just saying. Titanic director and submersible expert James Cameron said he predicted Titan's fate days before the debris from the missing submersible was found. All five people dead. Catastrophic implosion. Cameron has told the BBC he predicted the outcome of the ill-fated submersible. I felt in my bones what had happened, Cameron said. For the sub's electronics to fail, and its communication system to fail, and its tracking and transponder to fail simultaneously, sub's gone. I knew that sub was sitting exactly underneath its last known depth and position, and that's exactly where they found it. Mm-hmm. He added, it felt like a prolonged and nightmarish charade where people are running around talking about banging noises and talking about oxygen and all this other stuff. I immediately got on the phone to some of my contacts in the deep submersible community. Within an hour, I had the following facts. They were on descent. They were about 3,500 meters, heading for the bottom at 3,800 meters. We now have another wreck that's based on, unfortunately, the same principles of not heeding warnings. It's not wrong.
Shout out!
He has done the submersible down to the Titanic. Cameron has. He built a submersible to go down to the bottom of the Marianas Trench. He knows his shit,
and he lived through many trips doing that.
Yeah.
I just want to give a shout out to Netflix for jumping on that. And Titanic's gonna start streaming July 1st on.
Nice.
Nice.
They just jumped on that so fast. And it's like, I'm going to watch it. I love that movie.
Yeah, the best part of that movie.
And they should also put on Cameron's documentary on, you know, where he goes down and looks at the Titanic.
Yeah.
And he's on a submersible.
When he's alive, you mean?
Yes.
And narrating it because of the aliveness?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So here I am, alive.
Alive, looking at the Titanic.
Boy. How would I have felt if I had cut corners?
Like somebody on the real Titanic.
Yeah. Yeah, poor.
Irony.
No, I think I would watch Titanic again.
I love that movie.
I love Kate Winslet in that movie.
I like that when I was a kid, we bought it, and it was two VHSs.
Two of them.
Because it was so long. And I'm like, this is a long-ass movie. And now movies are like 5 hours long.
Yep.
Yeah,
Braveheart was the same way. Two VHS.
Yeah.
And I didn't care. I watched it over and over again. Anyway, Dan Crenshaw, pirate cosplayer.
That's right.
Is blaming the lost submersible on an epic failure of leadership. He's blaming Joe Biden. Yeah, laid the blame on the U.S. Coast Guard. How does he not know how long it takes to drive a boat somewhere?
International waters.
I mean, the fastest Navy boat goes like 20 miles an hour.
Well, and they did not report the lost contact for hours.
Yeah.
This was OceanGate itself. They kept trying to restore contact. By then, of course, it had imploded, but they were trying to restore contact, and they never reported we have lost contact with the submersible, or the Coast Guard, the Navy, the Canadian Navy that flew out and dropped the sonar buoys all would have left a lot earlier.
Again, I want to know where I want to pay my taxes, where I want to put them. I should get to decide. This is not where I would put them.
Yep.
No,
by the way,
yeah.
If you want a scandal-free company, you shouldn't name it Gate in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Ocean Gate. I was like, wow, that sounds like we're just going to be talking about this on the news a lot. And I was right.
Yep.
I realized the other day I've been gatekeeping my favorite band. I'm not going to say who it is, though.
I know who it is.
I know who it is. I'm not going to tell other people what my business.
Because you're gatekeeping.
Okay. Yeah.
That's fair.
My business.
Yeah.
They're mine. She says.
They're mine. I went to a show in Boise last week to watch them. So good. Tell you about that later.
So the Republican lawmaker claimed the international search effort appeared to be a case of epic failure of leadership, possibly stretching to the White House and upper echelons of the Coast Guard and Navy. And I quote, "I've been hearing a lot of concerning things from people, the civilian side, or you are involved in this," Crenshaw said Thursday in a statement to reporters. "You know, we got to look into it, see what's true and what isn't. What appears to be the case is epic failure of leadership. Where exactly that leadership failure is, I don't know. Is it the White House, the Coast Guard, the Navy? I'm not sure." No, it's not. The failure in leadership, you one-eyed dipshit. And yes, I will make fun of him wearing a patch over his eye. I believe it was misadventure, right?
Yeah.
Regardless, they were already dead, dummy, because your billionaire, I guess the knob you wanted to taste. I'm not sure if you would have had a chance to taste him yet. But, you know, Dan Crenshaw just strikes me as a guy that when he's gargling the balls of his billionaire overlords, that he does. He tickles the taint and not just for a job well done because he's genuinely enjoying the experience.
Yes, yeah. I believe so.
Yeah. You're a piece of shit, Dan Crenshaw. You always have been. You always will be. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. And what Pete Davidson said about you was fucking hilarious, and he shouldn't have apologized, you garbage person.
Mm-hmm. All I will say Crenshaw was right. It was a failure of leadership. Just not the leaders that he was pointing at.
Yeah.
The leadership that failed was the billionaire who was, you know, saying we're cutting corners to make this work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
After his Crenshaw gargle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hello, I'm Dan Crenshaw. You're a rich Republican. I'm here to drink your balls. Is that fair?
Drink them dry.
Drink them dry, baby.
I'm trying to figure out if the title of the episode is going to be Crenshaw Gargles Balls.
I think that's a good one.
Maybe just Crenshaw Gargles.
Nah, yeah. You gotta say balls.
You gotta have the balls. Gotta have the balls.
Blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. A job well done, Dan Crenshaw. Too bad he was dead.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just saying, now there's billions of unclaimed money floating around. Is there anywhere to put in for that? You know,
yeah,
can I have a little...
Maybe they should just pay the Coast Guard back.
Even then, they'd still have a shitload left over.
They would.
Yeah. No, it's one of the things I know. The Coast Guard's going to have to sue the estates.
Yeah.
And so that'll be fun.
Because they all signed death waivers.
Yep.
To go on the boat.
That's why you know you shouldn't do it.
Exactly. They all signed death waivers, and then the company is not paying for anything for the search and rescue. So that's all getting footed by the taxpayers. Both Canadian and United States taxpayers will be footing the bill for that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's it. We got a whole bunch of stuff. For some reason, I don't remember picking that many links, but we got a whole bunch coming up in Patreon.
Yeah.
We'll burn through them. Some of them are just headlines.
Mm-hmm.
But Patreon. Patreon.com/defenmedia. DEFEN Media. We're there every week we record with special content just for members of our Patreon squad. I hope you'll join us over there. I will definitely miss you guys next week. For those of you that have reached out because you can hear it in my voice, thank you. I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. I love each and every one of you, you little rapscallions. Aside from that, I'm all done. You guys got anything else?
No.
No, nope. You all good? All good? All right, let's go do what the British lady says.
Okay.
If you've made it this far, you might as well join us on Patreon. Patreon.com/defenmedia. This episode and more always available at www.theleftshow.com.